First I offer my unlimited
obeisances
in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev Nityali Lipavishta Om Vishnupad. A stotra sata Sri Sriman Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. My unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev. Om Vishnupad Astodara Satasri Sriman Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Gosai Maharaj. To the former president Acharya of Sri Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti, whose divine appearance it is today. Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Astodara Satasri Sriman Srila Bhakti Vedanta Vaman Gosai Maharaj. To all of our Guru Varga and all the assembled devotees. So Srila Gurudev just a couple of weeks ago spoke about the glories of Srila Vaman Maharaj because it was his disappearance day then. Today is his appearance day. So we'll talk about Srila Gurudev's class on that day in Kartik, which we just very recently sent out on the Harikatha a couple of days ago. And also the address that Srila Vaman Gosai Maharaj gave on the disappearance day of his Guru Maharaj, that is Srila Bhakti Pragyan Kesava Gosai Maharaj, which was also the inauguration day of his taking the seat as the next President Acharya of the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti. And we'll also talk about another lecture that Srila Gurudev gave on the actual day, a couple of days after his the year of his disappearance day. That is, the devotees were all about 1,000 devotees were all observing the Kartik Parikrama in Govardhan. And then all of a sudden, Gurudev got a call that Srila Vaman Maharaj had disappeared. So he left all the 1,000 devotees and went to Navadvip. So he talks about that, his trip to Navadvip, in this lecture. So first, the disappearance day speech of Srila Vaman Gosai Maharaj. First, he offers his various prayers, just like Gurudev does. He said, Om Agyanam Timirandasya, that prayer, and Makam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Giring Yat Kripas Tamahang Bande Sri Gurung Dinatarnam. And that means that by the mercy and power of Sri Guru, even a dumb man can become a great orator, and a lame man can cross a mountain, and a blind man can see the stars in the sky. So by that prayer, the speaker, the disciple, is admitting or is offering that he's worthless and can't do anything unless he gets the mercy of Guru to speak. Then he prayed, Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Guru Tushe Nama. Then Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatfate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate. Just as we sing the Mangalacharana prayers every morning from the Gaudiya Gitika songbook. Why do we do that? In preparation for being able to always remember it and always make appeals to our Guru Varga through those prayers, and to also pray to those who have realized the prayers and those who wrote the prayers, that they may bless us, that these can actually be our prayers, that we can also realize them. So Srila Vaman Maharaj, when he's singing these prayers, he's actually experiencing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, and then he's praying, Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate. He's actually experiencing those personalities. And then he prayed, Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavane Suri, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. And then finally, Panchakopatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. We say the words and pronounce the syllables or see the ink on the paper, but they actually enter into the prayer. And this is the final of the five stages of uttering mantras. The first being, who is the Ishtadeva of the mantra? What are his qualities or her qualities? What is my relationship with him or her? Like if it happens to be Radharani or Rupa Manjari. And then comes Nyas, what are the rules and regulations of saying that mantra, if any? And then accepting that the Ishtadeva, or worshipable deity of that mantra, is everything, and I have no need to go elsewhere, especially while I'm uttering the mantra. And then surrender, the six kinds of surrender, Sharanagati, which is the, you're like the cow, you provide the milk and eat the grass. You provided the tarp. Then the six activities of acting upon that conviction of prapatti, or surrender and realizing that the mantra, the deity of the mantra is everything. So no need to think about this or that or worry about this or that, but just take shelter of the mantra and that accomplishes all things, materially and spiritually. And then finally, Atmanivedana, the fifth of the stages of uttering the mantras, which means actually entering into the mantras, going to the other side where you become part of that group or part of the association of the deity of the mantra. And then when somebody else utters the mantra, you're there. So that's how... that's what we learn about Srila Vaman Goswami Maharaj from Srila Gurudev. So then, still, he just uttered all those mantras, then before giving his speech, which, as those of you who are in Vrindavan on Srila Rupa Goswami's disappearance day, or on the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Prakhan Keshav Goswami Maharaj, Gurudev always has other big scholars, well-known devotees from other mats. He has them speak long, and then he just speaks for a very short time, glorifying the speakers. And so that's what Srila Vaman Maharaj did also when he's speaking. So before he's speaking, first he offers his obeisances to the chairman of the assembly, that is, Bhakti Dori Tamadav Maharaj, and then apparently Srila Puri Goswami Maharaj was there, because then he offered his obeisances to, he said, to my most revered Srila Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. Then he offers his obeisances to the other sannyasis and names them who were present, and then to all the Vaishnavas who are present, and then to all my respectable God brothers. And then he begins to speak. And what does he say? Just like Gurudev says, he says, I can't really say more than them. I neither have the capacity, the qualification, nor the actual words to speak anymore. But still, because you have all ordered me to speak, and it's my duty to speak, on behalf of my Gurudev, then I will chew. I will engage in the experience of chewing the already chewed. In other words, taking the remnants of my venerable superiors who have already spoken. In other words, because I've heard from them, therefore I can say something. This means taking the remnants. You hear other speakers say that when Gurudev calls on speakers. And then, again, referring to their speech, he said if we reflect on the words of the previous speakers, and if we reflect on the significance of the life of my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Prajñāna Keshava Goswami Maharaj, who had just departed. This was in, the year was 1968, and it was in October. And I remember in that year, I was in, New York City or Boston, and Srila Prabhupada gave a disappearance commemoration lecture glorifying his sannyas godbrother, sannyas guru and godbrother, Srila Bhakti Prajñāna Keshava Goswami Maharaj. And at that time he wrote a letter to Gurudev and said, if you send me a picture of him, then I'll have one of the artists, I was the artist at the time, I will have the artist make a painting and we'll put it up on our walls. But I guess the photo never came because he never told me or any of the other artists to do it. So the reason for that, to my understanding, is that he wrote to Gurudev because this will show everyone later when the letter was discovered, because it was in Bengali, and it was printed in the Bengali Patrika of the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti, so that everyone would know that Prabhupada wanted it at that time, but it wasn't the time that we were meant to get to know him. The time became later, after we all started coming to Gurudev, and then seeing Prabhupada's real connection with him and learning who Prabhupada really is. So then Prabhupada also had all the devotees. There weren't too many devotees at the time. There were only a few temples. But he had the devotees in the temple that he was in. I think it was New York. It was New York temple. He had them, he wrote something, and then he had them all sign it, that we're all bereaving. He was getting us into the, teaching us the proper moods to have for Srila Bhakti Prajñāna Keshava Goswami Maharaj. And Prabhupada also spoke on his glorification. Actually, the actual temple where Prabhupada was, I think, was Aragon. I don't know how it could have been. We didn't have a temple there then.
Washington,
huh?
Seattle.
Oh, Seattle, that's right. It was Seattle. That's right. And he said that he uttered a prayer. He wrote his own prayer in glorification of him. And he said that just as Srila Raghunath Das Goswami prayed that I was unwilling to taste the nectar of renunciation, this Srila Bhakti Prajñāna Keshava Goswami Maharaj, my sannyas guru, forced me to take it, to taste it. So I take shelter of him. So at the same time, Srila Vaman Goswami Maharaj was giving his disappearance speech. And he said, so if we comprehend, who can comprehend his greatness? But if we consider the significance of his life, then we consider that his life has two main aspects. One is that he was hotter than a thunderbolt, and the other was that he was softer than the softest lotus flowers. He was hotter than a thunderbolt because he was uncompromising in his very powerful preaching to defeat all upasiddhantic bad conclusions. And then Srila Vaman Maharaj said, and those of you who are with him, who experienced him directly, you also all experienced his being so kind and loving and soft and nurturing, just like a mother. And he was just like our mother, our father, our everything that's valuable. That's what he is to us. And because he's a fearless preacher, he was like a thunderbolt. Then he's continuing that, therefore, let his instructions, all of his words, be our life and soul. Although we can't see his form now, still he has unlimited mercy waiting for us. So let us pray for that unlimited mercy, that we're able to carry out his instructions by our own mind, by our own words, and by our own bodily activities. And then he says, there are more speakers still to come, so I'll try to be brief. And he's concluding, because he was ordered by his Gurudev to accept the position of successor president acharya of the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti, which was started by Srila Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Gosai Maharaj and our Prabhupada Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj and one other devotee, Srila Nisringa Maharaj. Those three started the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti in about 1941. So then he's speaking about this new responsibility that was given to him. And, you know, we might also say something like, well, I'm not qualified for this responsibility, and yet I was given the order. But when he says it, he, although he's the most qualified, he actually feels it. And the example is given, the analogy is given in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in regard to Prithu Maharaj. When he was coming in procession and being coronated as the king, it's described there that he was very humble, and he was like a tree that is full of fruits and flowers. When a tree is full, completely laden with fruits and flowers, then it becomes very heavy, so it bends down very low. But a tree that has no fruits and flowers, it's very light, and so it stands up very straight. So a person who has no qualification is very proud, and a person who has really Vaishnava qualifications, he's very humble and low. So when Srila Vaman Maharaj says this, it's, we can know from, that it's fully from his heart, that I'm fully unqualified to accept this responsibility. And not only that, but I cannot comprehend the weight of the responsibility. Still, I must submissively comply because that is my order. So then he starts begging all the devotees present. So I can't do anything without your mercy, without your cooperation, without your sympathy, without your support, without your nourishment, without your blessings. So I'm asking you all for that. So he's submitting, he says, I'm submitting to my godbrothers that without their help, I cannot take a single step. So he's showing the perfect example of the humble yet powerful Vaishnavas. So now, this is Srila Gurudev's disappearance day, on the actual days of the disappearance of Srila Vaman Maharaj, which he gave in 2004. And he said that there were three pillars of the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti. That is Srila Vaman Maharaj, Srila Trivikram Maharaj, and himself, Srila Gurudev. He said, so this one pillar has just left a couple of days ago, and 2 years before him, Srila Trivikram Maharaj left on the exact same day. So Gurudev said, now we are observing the Separation Day Festival. And the date was, in that year, it was November 15th, although it changes, because it's not like a Western calendar, it changes every year. So Srila Gurudev explained that Srila Vaman Goswami Maharaj left at midnight, which is the time of Radha and Krishna's Nisha pastimes, their midnight pastimes. Rasa Leela comes, and then comes other pastimes, like they may be bathing and having water sports in the Jamuna, and then they may come out and have some snacks, and then their sakis put them to rest. These are all midnight pastimes. So then Gurudev said, a thousand of you are here now, and were here a couple of days ago when we got the news about his departure. And I was called to come to Navadvip. The devotees called me to, and said that Srila Vaman Maharaj requested that I put him in samadhi. Generally, it's the successor of the acharya who puts him in samadhi, just like Prabhupada ordered Gurudev to put him in, to give him samadhi. And Gurudev also gave his, gave his Gurudev samadhi. And his Gurudev gave Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur samadhi. But of course, obviously, that doesn't make him the only successor, because Prabhupada is also the successor of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, therefore, Srila Vaman Maharaj requested that Gurudev give him samadhi. So he was called there, and he immediately left without a second thought. He said, but what happened was, in the middle of the night, some of the leaders there of the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti, they gave him samadhi. So there was nothing for me to do in that regard, but I did whatever was appropriate for me to do. That is, I did parikrama of the samadhi. I offered arati, and I offered pushpanjali. Because the managerial leaders of the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti knew that if Gurudev was giving samadhi, then everybody would accept him as the successor. So to avoid that, they quickly did it himself before Gurudev arrived, while Gurudev was on his way. So Gurudev was explaining that, who are these boys who did that? He said, for so many years I took care of them. They hardly had their baby teeth in, and they were just young little children, but they wanted to be the big acharyas. And so they arranged it in this way and created the division. He said, if Srila Vaman Maharaj hadn't gotten sick and left, they wouldn't have dared to do anything to break up the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti. Gurudev said, right from the beginning, first Srila Vaman Maharaj came. He came at about 10 and a half years old, and he took initiation. His mother was a devotee. She was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And his father was also a devotee. And his mother, Gurudev said, was very intelligent and had a lot of guru nistha. And when Srila Vaman Maharaj was 10 and a half years old, she brought him to the mutt and gave him to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he received Harinam initiation from Srila Prabhupada. But because Srila Bhakti Pragyan Kesava Goswami Maharaj, his older godbrother, nourished him and gave him everything and took care of him, he considered him his Shiksha Guru, and he took more shelter of him. And then later, after the disappearance of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, some bad people framed the devotees of the Gaudiya Math, including Param Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Prajnan Kesava Goswami Maharaj, for murder. So 45 Gaudiya Math devotees, including Param Gurudev, had to go to jail for a while. And the only one who didn't go to jail was the young Srila Vaman Maharaj, who at that time was called Sajjan Sevak Brahmachari. Sajjan Sevak means, Sajjan means the Vaishnavas, and Sevak means he's always serving the Vaishnavas. So he did a very, very hard task then, at that time, because he was all alone. Everybody else was in jail. So he had to go to the market and get all the boga for cooking the prasadam. Then he cooked all the prasadam for all the devotees. And then he brought it to the jail and served all the devotees. Then he cleaned up everything. And then he had to deal also with the lawyers. And then he had to also go to the courts. So he did all this as a very young teenager. What?
Didn't he not have diksha?
Oh, plus, doing all this, he didn't have diksha mantras. And he was being criticized that he was cooking and making offerings to Thakurji without the mantras. But still he had to, because he was the only one. So Srila Bhakti Prajnan Kesava Goswami Maharaj, Param Gurudev, gave him the diksha mantras in jail so that he could continue and not be criticized. And he also passed many other difficult tests. Once, when he was very sick with 104 fever, there was over 150 guests came to the mutt, and there was no one else to cook. So even though he had that high fever, Param Gurudev came to him and said, "What are you doing there being sick at this time? There's no one else to cook. So you should cook for all the 150 devotees. You could be sick later." So he got up, cooked, served, cleaned, up after everybody, and then went back and was sick again. And all the time, he would always serve the devotees, all the devotees of the mutt, on leaf plates. And he would, I'm sure you all see the devotees giving out the salt and the chilies and the lemons. So he would be doing that. And then after everybody finished their prasadam, he would clean up everything, throw away all the leaf plates if it wasn't done. And then at night, he would clean all the toilets and carry the pots of all the stuff that he cleaned up on his heads. He was really Sajjan Sevak Brahmachari. And another incident that Gurudev told that he always tells